In the twilight between worlds, where memory fades into mist, Leafy walked barefoot along the silver shores of her river. She was no grand goddess of thunder or even war. Leafy bore no crown, but only silence. Her realm was forgetfulness, her gift both mercy and curse. Souls came to her heavy with grief, clinging to pain like old coats. She would touch their foreheads, cool and tender, and they would forget names, faces, sorrow. She wept a little each time, for in forgetting pain, they also forgot love. One day, a soul arrived who refused her touch. He remembered a child's laughter, a wife's final breath. "Why do you resist?" Leafy asked, her voice softer than the river's sigh. "Because forgetting her would be dying twice," he said. Leafy stood silent for a long time. Then for the first time in eternity, she let a soul pass unwashed. And in that moment, the river faltered, just a ripple, but it remembered something. Leafy watched the soul vanish into the afterlife, and for the first time, she remembered him too. I am Leafy, the river of forgetfulness, the goddess who resides in the shadows of the underworld. Many know me as the one who erases memories, yet few understand the depth of my power. I offer not just oblivion, but the sacred gift of release. Release from the chains of the past, from the weight of pain, regret, and sorrow. I offer the opportunity for the soul to begin anew. I teach that in order to move forward, sometimes you must forget what has come before. While memory serves as the bedrock of growth, memory can also become a prison if clung to too tightly to its past. I teach that forgiveness and forgetting are not weaknesses, but rather acts of empowerment. To forget is not to deny the past, but to release its hold so that you may embrace the present and the future with clarity and freedom. Through me, souls who journey to the underworld drink from my waters to relinquish their former identities, their former lives, and to allow them to start again with no burden, free from the weight of old wounds. I teach that to be reborn, you must sometimes shed your skin. The old must be let go so the new can emerge. I am a goddess of release. When souls drink from my waters, they are unburdened, freed from the chains of their previous life. I bring peace to those who need it most, offering them a respite from the struggles and regrets that plague their hearts. In this peace, they find the chance to heal and start anew. I am the power of the present moment, unshackled from the past. I remind you that while the past shapes you, it does not define you. I offer the sacred space for healing and rebirth. Through me, souls are allowed to let go of all of the stories and the pains of their previous existence, which can be especially vital for those in need of spiritual renewal or growth. Some believe that I am simply about forgetting, that I encourage people to ignore or erase their past entirely, but this is a misunderstanding of my nature. My gift is not to encourage amnesia, but to offer a way for individuals to choose what to carry with them and what to release. There is a danger in holding on to too much, whether it's pain, shame, guilt, or even old identities. And if I am misused, it can create emptiness or detachment. When my waters are abused, forgetting can become numbing, a refusal to learn from the past rather than a healthy release. I am not a tool for escapism, but a means for those who are ready to let go of what hinders their spiritual growth. It is often believed that I am simply the goddess of forgetting, the river where one drinks to wipe the slate clean. People tend to think that I am cold, detached, and that my power leads only to loss. However, what they fail to realize is that forgetting is not the same as erasing. Forgetting for me is the act of choosing release. It is a compassionate gesture, an understanding that sometimes what binds us to suffering must be left behind in order for the soul to grow. Some think I offer only oblivion, but I offer freedom. My waters do not erase the essence of who you are. They merely cleanse the burdens that prevent you from experiencing life fully. Without me, memory can become a trap, and without forgetting, there can be no healing. My purpose is not to erase all memory, but to offer the opportunity for peace and renewal. I help humanity by offering release from the past. In a world that is often weighed down by sorrow, trauma, regret, and the burden of history, I offer the possibility of restarting, of becoming lighter, more connected to the present moment, and open to the future. Without the ability to forget, humans cannot heal. I am a catalyst for healing, for both the individual soul and for collective wounds. In times of deep emotional pain, when the past feels too heavy to bear, I help by allowing people to shed the weight of their memories and their grief. This act of release can bring clarity and a sense of renewal, the same way that the breaking of dawn after a dark night brings light and hope. I also offer the gift of acceptance, the understanding that all experiences are transient. The past, no matter how painful, is something that no longer needs to control the present or the future. I teach you that to hold on too tightly to the past is to stagnate. To let go is to move forward, embracing each moment as it is. Ultimately, I help humanity by allowing individuals to transform, to break free from old patterns, and to rediscover their true selves without the burden of their previous mistakes or experiences. I grant the freedom of release, a spiritual cleansing that makes space for growth, transformation, and enlightenment. Hesiod's Theogony identifies Lethe as the daughter of Eris, the goddess of strife. She is also the sister of Ponos, or hardship, Limos, or starvation, Alge, or pain, Hismenai, or battles, Makai, or wars, Phonoi, or murders, and several more. Lethe was more than a goddess. She was forgetfulness itself personified. As a daimona, one of the ancient spirits that embodied abstract forces, Lethe didn't need myths or epics to define her. She had no lovers, no rivalries, no heroic battles. Unlike the Grand Olympians, she moved silently through the world, untouched by drama or desire. Lethe was not a character in a story. She was a state of mind. She was the moment you forget a name, the fading of a dream at dawn, the quiet relief of a pain no longer remembered. Deep in the mythic lore of Greek mythology, she existed not to act, but to be, a constant subtle presence in the background where memory slips away and silence takes hold. Lethe was not a goddess to be prayed to or invoked in hymns. The Greeks hoped that Lethe would herself forget all about them. In the ancient Greek imagination, the underworld was not a singular shadowy void, but a vast and intricate realm divided by five rivers, each with its own essence, each marking the soul's journey beyond death. Among them, Lethe was a river that flowed in silence and secrecy. Neither fiery like Phlegethon nor mournful like Cocytus. Lethe also is known as the river of unmindfulness, and she offered not torment or lamentation, but erasure. Winding past the cave of Hypnos, the god of sleep, and threading its way through the gloom of Hades, Lethe shimmered with a strange golden hue said to be yellow in color, a quiet glimmer in the otherwise dim world of the dead. Its waters bore a sacred power. To drink from Lethe was to surrender memory itself. Life, sorrow, identity, even love vanished like mist in morning light. What remained was the pure blankness of oblivion, the empty page upon which a soul could be reborn. In Homer's Odyssey and later philosophical traditions, the souls of the dead were required to drink from Lethe's waters before reincarnation. Only by forgetting the life they had lived could they return to the world of the living without the burden of the past. Whether in the deep reaches of Tartarus or the dreamy fields of Elysium, Lethe marked the threshold where memory ends and another life begins. The word Lethe in classical Greek means more than mere forgetfulness. It means concealment, oblivion, the quiet slipping away of truth. Its opposite, aletheia, truth, literally translates as unforgetting or unconcealment. Where truth uncovers, Lethe veils. Where truth preserves, Lethe releases. To encounter Lethe is to ask, who are we without memory? And more hauntingly, what do we lose or gain in the forgetting? The counterpart of Lethe was Mnemosyne, the Greek goddess of memory. Mnemosyne is the most profound yet often overlooked figure in Greek mythology. Her name literally means memory in ancient Greek, and she represents the power of remembrance, oral tradition, and the preservation of knowledge. In many philosophical and poetic traditions, Mnemosyne is presented as the conceptual opposite of Lethe. While Lethe offers oblivion and release from the past, Mnemosyne embodies remembrance, identity, and the continuity of consciousness. Lethe is central to the oracles of Boeotia. Boeotia, a fertile and storied heartland of ancient Greece, was steeped in myth, ritual, and revelation. Though often overshadowed by the famed Oracle of Delphi, this central region nurtured a rich tradition of prophecy and divination rooted deeply in chthonic mystery and spiritual transformation. Here, oracles did not merely speak, they unveiled. At the heart of Boeotian prophecy stood the Oracle of Trophonius, the most revered in the region and long considered a rival and prestige to Delphi itself. Trophonius, a demigod or hero bound to the underworld, presided over a dark subterranean sanctuary at Lebedea. Those who sought his guidance would undergo an elaborate series of purifications, fasting, and offerings before being led into a cave. A descent not into the earth, but into the deep strata of the psyche. The ritual was harrowing and initiatory. According to the geographer Pausanias, before consulting the oracle, one had to drink from the fountain of Lethe to clear one's mind, and afterwards drink from the fountain of Mnemosyne to remember what the oracle says. Pilgrims often emerged pale, shaken, and forever changed, having experienced visions that defied rational explanation. So profound was the transformation that the saying, "He went down to Trophonius," came to signify a person marked by an otherworldly seriousness, as if they had glimpsed something the rest of the world could not comprehend. The prophetic culture of Boeotia extended beyond formal sanctuaries. In Thebes, the region's storied city, lived one of mythology's most iconic seers, Tiresias, the blind prophet whose insights crossed boundaries of gender, mortality, and time. Though not attached to a single temple, Tiresias's legend wove itself into the very soul of Theban spirituality. His legacy shaped the Boeotian sense of prophecy, not as a doctrine, but as revelation emerging from paradox and transformation. Boeotian oracles were deeply intertwined with chthonic forces, gods and spirits of the underworld. Divination often invoked the darker realms, dreams, omens, sacred lots, and the reading of entrails. The oracular traditions here were not merely predictive, they were initiatory, guiding the soul through symbolic death and rebirth, and illuminating the veiled connections between fate, memory, and the divine. In some traditions associated with Boeotian mysticism, the seeker might drink from the waters of Lethe and Mnemosyne, forgetfulness and memory, a ritual believed to cleanse the mind of distraction while preserving essential truths. In later esoteric thought, it was said that the souls who drank selectively could return to life bearing fragments of past wisdom, foreshadowing beliefs in reincarnation and ancestral memory. Ultimately, the oracles of Boeotia spoke not in riddles, but in thresholds between life and death, memory and forgetting, fear and insight. To consult them was to walk a liminal path where fate whispered from the shadows and truth rose, strange and sacred from the depths of the unseen. In the deep architecture of the ancient Greek world, a realm more intricate than a mere pit of punishment, lay rivers that shaped the fates of souls. Among them was Lethe, the river of forgetfulness, flowing like a pale ribbon through the hidden folds of eternity. The underworld was divided, not merely by moral judgment, but by destiny. To the damned belonged Tartarus, a shadowy abyss below even Hades itself, a place of torment reserved for the wicked, the oathbreakers, and the enemies of the gods. Here, time stretched into punishment, endless, echoing, and inescapable. No river flowed in Tartarus. Only the memory of transgression pulsed like a heartbeat in the dark. But far from this infernal depth, on the opposite edge of the underworld, shone the quiet fields of Elysium, also called the Elysian Fields, a realm of light, soft breezes, and eternal ease. This was the final home of heroes, poets, and the just, where souls wandered in peace beneath a sunless golden sky. Yet even here, the soul was not whole. It carried the residue of mortal life, the echo of grief, the burden of memory. To pass fully into bliss, a soul in Elysium had to drink from Lethe. The waters of Lethe did not simply cleanse, they unmade. With each sip, the soul relinquished its former life. Names forgotten, wounds dissolved, triumphs turned into mist. What was left was a hollow purity, a spirit unanchored from its past. In this state, the soul could linger in serenity or begin again. The ancient Orphic mysteries taught that rebirth was impossible without forgetfulness. Lethe was the sacred prerequisite to reincarnation, the eraser before the soul could be rewritten. Before the initiated, those who had glimpsed deeper truths, another choice existed. Hidden beside Lethe ran a lesser-known spring, Mnemosyne, the river of memory. To drink from Mnemosyne was to remember not only past lives, but divine origins, ancient wisdom, and cosmic purpose. Thus, the rivers became gates, Lethe, the passage of release and rebirth, Mnemosyne, the passage of remembrance and awakening. To the Greeks, death was never the end. It was a crossing, sometimes into torment, sometimes into paradise, but always into transformation. And in that dark terrain beneath the world, Lethe whispered her invitation, "Forget, so you may begin again." In the cosmology of ancient Greece, Lethe was more than a river. She was a force, a goddess, and a profound metaphysical principle. Her waters did not merely erase memory, they prepared the soul for transformation. To drink from Lethe was to surrender the architecture of the self, its traumas, identities, attachments, all of it, in exchange for a blank slate, a return to spiritual zero. This act of forgetting was not viewed as a loss, but as a necessary condition for rebirth. In the doctrines of the Orphic and Eleusinian mysteries, two of the most influential mystical traditions of the ancient world, memory was both a gift and a burden. Only by relinquishing it could the soul pass cleanly into a new life. Forgetting became a form of purification, a sacred shedding of the residue of former lives, misdeeds, or even heroic deeds that might anchor the soul to a former self. In this context, Lethe is intimately linked to the cycle of metempsychosis, or reincarnation, a cosmic rhythm of death, forgetting, and return. Without Lethe, the soul remains entangled in its past, caught in a spiral of memory too heavy to transcend. But with Lethe's touch, the soul is unburdened, free to begin again. Yet Lethe is more than a passive stream. As a goddess of oblivion, she offers something many long for, but few truly understand: release. Her gift is not merely forgetting, but the liberation that comes with it, from guilt, from sorrow, from the endless echoes of regret. In this light, Lethe can be seen as a divine force of healing, granting the dead not just passage into another life, but peace from the one they left behind. There is a quiet wisdom in Lethe's myth that sometimes, to be whole again, we must first be hollowed out, that forgetting is not always a failure of memory, but an act of mercy. Lethe does not erase meaning. She makes room for it to arise anew. At the close of the Republic, Plato offers not merely a philosophical argument, but a visionary tale, the myth of Air, a narrative meant to unsettle, enlighten, and awaken the moral imagination. Air, a soldier that's fallen in battle, did not remain among the dead. Instead, he became an accidental messenger between worlds. His body lay uncorrupted on the funeral pyre for 10 days, and on the 12th, he stirred, returned, not from sleep, but from the unseen realms beyond life. What he brought back was not comfort, but a revelation, a glimpse of the afterlife as a vast cosmic mechanism of justice and return. Air described a landscape where souls are sorted, the virtuous ascending to celestial realms of reward, the wicked descending to subterranean punishments, their sins etched into their essence. But this moral reckoning was not the end. After a set period, the souls returned to a central axis of fate, where they were offered the chance to choose their next life. Here, reincarnation was not automatic, but deliberate. A soul could select the body, its conditions, and form its next incarnation. Yet these choices were not mere lottery. They reflected the soul's condition, its clarity or confusion. Some chose unwisely, driven by ambition, vengeance, or ignorance. Others, humbled by their past, selected quieter lives, even animal forms. Gender, class, species, all of them were mutable. A soul might return as a pauper, or as a queen, a lion, or a dove. There was no divine intervention, only the consequence of one's own discernment, or lack thereof. But one final act was required before rebirth. Every soul, regardless of its choice, had to drink from the waters of Lethe, the river of forgetting. Some drank deeply, plunging into total amnesia. Others sipped more cautiously, returning only a trace of memory, a whisper from their former life. It is from this moment, Plato suggests, that some are born into the world with a faint sense of purpose, déjà vu, or a longing they cannot name. In The Myth of Air, Plato weaves ethics, metaphysics, and psychology into a single mythic vision. It is not merely a tale of life after death, but a meditation on the nature of the soul, its freedom, its responsibility, and the silent forces that shape human destiny. The River Lethe, in this telling, is not only a border between lives, it's the veil that renders us strangers to ourselves. When the ancients imagined death, they did not picture it as a simple end. They saw a passage, a process, a transformation, and at the heart of this transformation, in the deep silence of the underworld, flowed the River Lethe, the river of forgetting. To the Greeks and the Romans, Lethe was not merely a current of water, but a cosmic threshold. Her name, of course, means oblivion, and her waters carried out one of the most essential rites of death, the erasure of memory. Before the dead could move on or return, they had to let go. The souls of the departed, known in myth as the Shades, they were not yet fully gone nor fully transformed. These Shades, dim echoes of their former selves, lingered in the underworld, no longer tethered to their physical forms, but still haunted by their residue of earthly life. They retained identity, memory, and longing, all of which needed to be released before rebirth could begin. We see this vividly in Virgil's Aeneid, where the hero Aeneas journeys to the underworld and comes upon the River Lethe. He is stunned to witness the crowd of spirits, countless shades gathered at the water's edge, waiting to drink. The Sibyl, his guide, explains, "The souls that throng the flood are those to whom, by fate, are other bodies owed. In Lethe's lake, they long oblivion's taste, a future life secure, forgetful of the past." In this vision, Lethe becomes the final gate before reincarnation. The shades are not merely the dead, they are souls in waiting, destined to re-enter the world of the living in new bodies. But before they can be born again, they must drink from Lethe and lose all recollection of who they were. It is an act of both release and mercy. Without forgetting, no rebirth could occur. The burden of memory of former griefs, errors, and identities would be too great for a soul to carry into a new life. And so they drink, and they forget, and the cycle continues. But not all souls embrace this forgetting. In the Orphic Mysteries, initiates were taught to resist Lethe, to seek out Mnemosyne, the spring of memory, and thereby escape the cycle of reincarnation altogether. For them, memory was liberation, not forgetting. So Lethe offers a choice: forget and begin again, or remember and transcend. In this way, the river stands not just as a mythic element of the underworld, but as a symbol of something we all wrestle with: what to remember, what to forget, and what must be left behind to move forward. Connecting with the goddess Lethe can be a deeply personal and transformative experience for someone. Lethe's power is rooted in the ability to help somebody let go of their burdens of the past, whether they're emotional wounds, old identities, or painful memories. To connect with Lethe, somebody would need to embrace her gifts of cleansing, healing, and renewal, and approach her with an openness to releasing that which no longer serves their growth. Here are just a few suggestions in terms of connecting with the goddess Lethe. Number one, meditate on Lethe's waters. You could choose to enter a state of deep meditation, imagining yourself at the edge of the river Lethe with the waters calm and still. And as you focus on your breath, you can visualize dipping your hands into the river and letting the water wash over them, feeling any burdens, old memories, or emotional pain dissolve and drift away. You might visualize drinking from this river, feeling a sense of release from past trauma or even regrets, and a sense of lightness and renewal filling your being. Number two, journaling and releasing rituals. If you are so inclined, you can engage in a journaling practice in which you write down some memories, some fears, or regrets that you wish to release. After writing these down, you can either burn the paper or bury it into the earth. These acts symbolize the release of those memories into the void, just as the souls drink from the waters of Lethe to forget their pasts. The ritual can be done under moonlight if you prefer, which is usually a symbol of cyclical renewal. And you can do this to honor Lethe's connection to the cycles of life, death, and rebirth. Number three, create an altar or a sacred space to honor Lethe if you so choose. So you may want to consider setting up a small altar or the sacred space that features certain symbols related to her and her domain. This might include representations of water, such as a small bowl of water or even a blue candle. These might be symbols of forgetfulness or release, including broken chains or even faded photographs, and any items related to healing and renewal, such as crystals like amethyst, which is usually associated with spiritual cleansing, or even aquamarine, which is associated with emotional release and water and marine life. Number four, surrender and acceptance practices. You may consider a practice that relates to a form of surrender where you're actively letting go of expectations, judgments, and attachments to certain outcomes in your life. This could also involve things like yoga or other embodied practices that focus on release, whether it's physically, emotionally, and/or mentally. You also might want to consider using certain affirmations in your practice, such as, I release what no longer serves me. I am free from the burdens of my past. I embrace my rebirth with open arms. Number five, work with water as a sacred element. Since Lethe is associated with water, obviously she is the water, you may engage in a ritual that incorporates water as a symbol of cleansing and as forgetfulness. You might perform some sort of ritual of bathing or washing in a river, ocean, or even in a small bowl of water, just with the intention of washing away old memories or emotional baggage. You can also use the water to symbolize the cleansing of your soul, inviting Lethe to bring peace and release. Number six, self-compassion and forgiveness. Lethe's gift of forgetting can also extend to self-forgiveness. You may find it beneficial if you engage in self-compassion practices where you would acknowledge any feelings of guilt, shame, or regret that you're holding on to. You can then practice, of course, forgiving yourself, allowing these feelings to wash away in the spirit of Lethe's waters. Dreamwork and Lethe's influence. You might want to explore the power of dreams to connect specifically with the goddess Lethe. Since she is the goddess of forgetfulness, it is closely tied to the subconscious and to the depths of the mind. So before you go to sleep, you could invoke Lethe by meditating on the theme of release and asking for help in understanding certain areas of your life that you really need to let go of. Upon waking, you can certainly journal about your dreams and see if any symbols or messages relate to forgetting the past or embracing a new path. Connecting with the goddess Lethe, it's about embracing the cyclical nature of life, death, and renewal. Anyone who seeks to connect with her can do so by practicing release, surrender, and letting go of the past, allowing room for healing and growth. Through meditation, ritual, journaling, and symbolic acts of cleansing, you can invite Lethe's wisdom directly into your life, learning that forgetting is not the same as erasure, but rather a means of spiritual purification and transformation. In this connection, Lethe offers you the freedom to embrace new beginnings, free from the emotional burdens of old experiences.